Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 12:59 p.m. and that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is April 20th. The S&P 500 was off a little in here today, but not in an especially dynamic manner. But I don't think anyone would receive the Nobel Prize for looking at the chart and saying that it's a little overbought. So we're probably due some pause and consolidation. There was this interesting graphic that was produced by Bloomberg, I think it was yesterday, highlighting the fact that the price has tended to at least pause and sometimes pull back from a 16% overextension relative to the trend mean, and we're there right now. So it's not really beyond the bounds of possibility to expect that we're due at least some consolidation. And I think there's some rationale for why that might be the case. We've had a meaningful advance. And when we look at the number of stocks that are trading above their respective trend means, well, it's right in the region of the point where we could normally anticipate a peak. And what that suggests is that we're probably on the cusp of a period of time where we could anticipate that there are going to be are greater evidence of more dispersion in the range of companies that do well. So what are the sectors most likely to do well, and what are those that are most likely to be under pressure? So one thing that I thought was rather interesting is that one of Germany's best performing companies over the course of the last while has been Zalando, and it's an e-commerce company, and it's one of the European champions. There aren't very many, and you can probably list all of the really successful European online companies on the two hands, and half of them are from the UK. But they came through with their earnings in here today, and they were impressive earnings. But the share was down, and there's certainly a loss of consistency. We've had a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. It came right back down to the region of the trend mean. Now it is pulling back once more. This is potentially type 2 top formation completion with right hand extension. So if we have to question what are the sectors that are least likely to do well, well, it's the kinds of companies that did particularly well during the lockdowns, because the one thing that's unlikely is that we're going back into full-on lockdown in the countries that are most successful in getting vaccinations done for the majority of their citizens. The USA, for example, is well on its way. Israel has pretty much vanquished the coronavirus because they are way ahead in the number of people that have been vaccinated. The UK is well along as well. Germany is lagging behind. And Canada, of course, has now got a well-publicized full-on lockdown in Ontario. But the big question, of course, would be when we look at these shares that did fantastically well during the lockdowns, how much better are they going to do? How much more market share can they capture in the short term? And the answer is probably they've done as well as they're going to. So this is a significant loss of momentum. And then if we think about Amazon, it's another company that has been ranging. And it rebounded really very impressively right off the lows at the lower side of this range. And then with better earnings, it got all the way back up to the upper side of the range. But now Jeff Bezos is retiring. And then the question is, what will be the motive force behind the company in future, considering his visionary leadership is one of the primary reasons that it has done so fantastically well. And there is at least some reason to think that perhaps we might see some additional pause and consolidation in here. Apple came through with its product launches in here today, and the market was down, not in a dynamic manner, but again, it's another share that is going sideways. And the one thing that I think is particularly worth considering is that, and I do remember this from the very first time that I attended David's chart seminar back in 2003, and it was that following a big advance, a lengthy congestion area is seldom a reliable continuation pattern. And we've had an acceleration on the upside, and we've had a failed upside break, and we've had a lengthy period of consolidation. So we have to at least conclude that supply and demand have come back into balance. Now, it's still holding the region of the trend mean, and this was a pretty impressive rebound we had 3 weeks ago. So it's reasonable for bulls to conclude that this might just be a lengthier consolidation following what was an incredibly speedy advance up off the lows in 2020, but it will certainly need to hold the region of the trend mean. I suspect that we are going to see at least some additional consolidation. And I think also that as we look around the world, that Europe has done well, and the Euro Stoxx index got up into that 440 handle, and it is now at least pausing. We are due at least some consolidation, particularly in view of the short-term overbought condition. The Nikkei is also pausing in the region of the 30,000 level and pulling back from that again in here today. Now, at least by pausing over the course of the last 6 weeks, it has unwound part of the overextension relative to the trend mean, but there's still plenty more to go. When we think about the second section index, it got right all the way back up to the peaks, and it has paused over the last 3 weeks. So again, this is further evidence of some pause going on following what was a strong advance overall. The other way of thinking about all of this is that the market has been priced for perfection, and with the surging number of coronavirus cases in India and the fact that there is increasing evidence that crematoriums are working 24/7, it is perhaps representative of the fact that they may be understating the number of deaths that are coming through from the coronavirus despite their young population. So that could potentially weigh on the Nifty, and it was in negative territory today. So there's the potential here that we may see an additional reversion back down towards the mean here as well. And the rupee had devalued rather sharply over the last 3 weeks. It was in positive territory on Thursday and then starting to weaken again over the last 2 days. It's pretty unlikely that the rupee is going to strengthen against this environment. And it does raise the potential that demand for gold in India will start to increase as a result. That Indians might look on gold as a hedge against the devaluation of the currency. And there is potential that we've seen at least the low come in there. The Chinese window for buying gold is open up again. And now the question is, are we going to see gold do exactly what it has been doing for the last 6 months and rally by over $100 and fail, or is it going to keep on going from here? I think that the odds are certainly improving that gold is capable of doing better from here, for the simple reason that it is lower now than it was in either the period in September or November or in January when it pulled back rather violently. I think the clearest evidence that we're back in a demand-dominated environment will be higher reaction lows and a sustained move back above the $1,860 area. We are quite likely approaching, I think we could potentially have already seen the low in gold. And what I wanted to do was put up the gold miners. They are also rallying and now have broken the short-term sequence of lower rally highs, clearly demonstrating support in that $30 area. And this continues to look like the first big consolidation following a major base formation completion. We certainly have a number of bottlenecks in the global economy, and that is particularly true in the semiconductors sector. But semiconductors are not pushing on to new high ground. They popped on the upside at the beginning of the month, and now they're pulling back up, pulling back into that range. So this is another failed upside break, and I think we need to pay some consideration to the fact that this is now a significant loss of momentum, and that breakouts are failing. And when breakouts fail, it tells us that the vacuum of supply above the market has not formed. It then raises the question of whether the vacuum of demand below the range has formed, and that can create a pocket of demand below the range into which prices can fall. So risk has certainly increased, particularly following the accelerations. We're due at least some further consolidation to unwind the overbought condition, and the shortage of semiconductors will eventually ebb. I was talking with a friend on one of the investment committees I sit on, who is also on the board of a company that invests in real estate, but agricultural real estate, and he confirmed a Bloomberg article that came out today talking about the equivalent of the lumber crack spread, because there's no shortage of trees, and the owners of the standing timber are not seeing prices rise, but finished lumber has been accelerating on the upside until today. And at one point today, it was up at $50, and now it is closing limit down. So there is the clear potential here that we have seen the peak, that this advance in lumber is now over. And particularly when this, and I think this is one of the most important factors, that the number of outstanding contracts is low. So when we look at open interest, there's really only about 2,600 contracts, and that's actually lower than the number of contracts that were open last week when it was about 2,800 or 2,900. When we're talking about that small number of contracts and where stops are, considering that it has been moving its limit, a lot of stops will be just below the limit of trade, so that when it opens tomorrow, those stops will get hit. So there is the clear potential now that it is going to move limit down straight off the open tomorrow. And there is the potential that we've seen at least some of the heat coming out of this accelerated trend. But what this is also very representative of is that it's accelerated trends in a number of different asset classes are now starting to experience selling pressure. So when we look at what's been going on in the agricultural sector, well, corn prices were in positive territory in here today. Soybeans are right in the region of their peak from all the way back in 20, if my memory serves me, it's around 2014. But if we look all the way at the long-term history, it gives us a much better picture of just how high prices are overall. It's not beyond the bounds possibility that we see some consolidation coming in here if accelerated trends start to pull back. We are definitely seeing at least a pause coming through in the fertilizer companies. When, for example, we look at the rather impressive advance Mosaic has had over the course of the last few months in particular, but up from the lows in March, it's now right in the region of the sequence of lower rally highs that have been in place for a decade. So it's a logical period where investors might start to think about taking profits, because this is a historic area or an historic area of resistance. It doesn't necessarily mean that the trend is over, but perhaps some consolidation before we see the next leg higher, is quite likely. So even in the trades where we've had very clear evidence of supply inelasticity, we're starting to see some ebbing in demand. And obviously, the big question then is, what about Bitcoin? Because it's obviously also had a great deal of volatility and failed upside breaks. Well, it was well off its lows in here today, so we still have evidence of buying the dip in Bitcoin. And it is holding that psychological 50,000 level despite the loss of momentum and the failed upside breaks. So at least it is holding on. I personally think that Bitcoin is at the focal point of speculative interest in the markets right now, and its weakness over the last week or two has been causal in terms and a lead indicator in terms of the loss of momentum we've seen in other risk assets. If Bitcoin breaks down, and by that I mean that it takes out the low put in 3 days ago, then it is quite likely that the rest of the risk assets will follow it down into a period of mean reversion. And bond prices are steadying up as well. So we're definitely also seeing at least some demand for a hedge. And they are still extremely oversold. So there is the clear potential that yields can come down, that we can see a rebound in the bond prices, because one thing that has been quite lacking in bonds over the course of most of the last 12 months has been any real evidence of dip buying. And yet, dip buying has been the most reliable strategy in bonds for 40 years. So we're overdue a rebound in bond prices. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.